May I have your attention, please? Shalom. My name is daughter of Yishael Abel Tikva, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is daughter of Yishael Abel, Deaconess Rasa, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yishael Abel now entering the sanctuary. It's a privilege and honor to turn it over to one of the daughters of Yishael Abel, Tazaria.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yishael Abel, Tazaria, and I want to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. You may be seated. We have a very exciting program today. Please take out your pens and papers, pens and pencils to get ready for services. Now I'd like to turn over to the next teacher.
My name is Melissa Hawkins. You may be seated. My name is Melissa Hawkins, and I'm 8 years old. I'm teaching my sister, who is 5 years old, how to read the book of Yahweh in the Peace of Solution Character Education Program. My sister is now my friend. I want you to be my friend too, not my enemy.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Leah Hawkins, and I am 5 years old. I'm learning to love my 8-year-old sister. It's hard, but it's better than it was before. You have got to try the Peace and Solution Character Education Program. Thank you. I turn it over to the next place.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So today I'm going to be talking about how Yeshua had the power to control the microorganisms and put signs in the clouds because he qualified for that position. So as we are all striving to enter Yahweh's kingdom, Yeshua is encouraging us by giving us signs, like the donkey in the clouds, telling us that we are all great workers and servants like donkeys, guided by our great teacher, Pastor Yishael Abel Hawkins. And donkeys are stubborn sometimes, and our stubbornness should be for not breaking Yahweh's laws. He also gave us the age and the SHDHF, telling us that we are at the right place, the great house of Yahweh. So why is Yeshua able to control the microorganisms and put signs in the clouds? Yeshua qualified for that position. He had Yahweh's 13 attributes. He was humble, merciful, compassionate, forgiving, and righteous and truthful, just to name a few. In the second book of Israel, Pastor said Yeshua had the 13 attributes of Yahweh. He wasn't willing that any should perish. He was a very merciful person whose heart was set on being a servant to his people and still is today. So Yeshua was a servant. He was willing to serve. He had the spirit of Yahweh, which was to serve. In the ninth book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, verse 38, Pastor was reading Romans 8, and he says, verse 2, because through Yeshua Messiah, the laws of the spirit have set me free from the laws of sin and death. These laws, this character that Yeshua brought forth, the perfect character, the perfect living, the perfect way of keeping the Sabbath day, the way that Yahweh keeps the Sabbath. This is part of the spirit of Yahweh's laws. The spirit of Yahweh's laws is to become a servant to one another. That is a wonderful spirit. So he's saying there that Yeshua had the spirit of Yahweh, which was to serve and keep the Sabbath. So because Yeshua had Yahweh's 13 attributes, he was humble, kept all Yahweh's laws, kept the Sabbath, never sinned. He is able to control the microorganisms, heal the sick, move mountains, resurrect the dead, walk on water, and a lot more. So all these things Yeshua is able to do, we will be able to do one day if we follow Yeshua's examples and be humble, keep all the laws, be in unity, and do not sin. In the fourth book of Israel, Pastor says, Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Yes, he had the same weaknesses as we have had, but he proved it possible not to sin. There's a difference in Yeshua because he knew Yahweh's way from the beginning. You lived a sinful life and you built up a lot of bad habits. So did I, brethren. But there's nothing that cannot be overcome. Every fault you can overcome. All you have to do is to set your mind in advance to follow him. So remember to follow Yeshua's examples, hold on like a bulldog, and don't let anything pull you away from Yahweh's house. If we overcome, then we will be the ones that will hear Yeshua say, "Well done, wise and faithful servants. You have made it, so enter into the kingdom of Yahweh." In Revelation 21:7, it says, "And he who will overcome will inherit all things, and I will be his father, and he will be my son." With that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel, Abigail Hawkins, and I would like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. My title today is Our Reward. Do you remember when we saw Yisrael Hawkins' face on the side of the bakery wall? It was in October of 2013. A lot has taken place since then, so I thought I would share what occurred the night we first saw it so that I could refresh your memory. I was young, only 6 years old at the time. My sister and brother and I had a really great day getting ready for the Sabbath. So my mother and father wanted to reward us for our hard work and obedience. So we went to the cafeteria to get dessert. The Sabbath was just starting. We parked the car by the bakery, and my mother was turning off her lights. But my brother said, "Turn your lights back on." Then he said, "There's Pastor." I could see it, but my mother thought Pastor was driving by somewhere. We pointed to the bakery wall, and then she saw it. Pastor's face was there. She quickly got out of the car and took some pictures. Then she went into the cafeteria, leaving the parking lights on so we could see his face. When she came back out, she ran to the bakery and asked the women to come out and see what we were looking at. They were making the Sabbath bread. They were so excited about seeing the picture of Pastor that they drew what it looked like on his bread sack for the morning. I think I have it right here. Oh, as a matter of fact, yes, here it is. Do you remember when he showed this to us? Let me read it to you. It says, "The image of the great Kohen Yisrael, up high, now down low, even on the bakery wall, he does show." That's Yahsom. It was Yahsom, sisters. While I was really looking forward to getting dessert, it was a way better reward seeing Pastor's face on the bakery wall. We enjoyed it so much that it was hard to leave to go home, but Yahweh gave us another blessing, getting to see it again the next night and share it with every one of you. That was the best reward. May Yahweh bless your understanding, and now I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Naomi. Didn't we have awesome speeches so far? Praise Yahweh. Now remember, Yahweh is guiding and protecting his house. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere, don't leave just yet, we have many more to come. Now if you'll stand, I'll turn it over to daughter of Yisrael Abel for prayer.
Great saints of Yahweh, please be seated. Great house of Yahweh, today we want to do numbers on the women's side. And when I want to tell you what occurred, I had a dream. It was last Thursday night. And I dreamt of the number. When in the dream, you know, like the teacher, like the students. And you know how we want to be like our teacher, the greatest teacher in the world, Israel Hawkins. Is that true, Great House of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. We want to be like him in everything he teaches, everything he does, everything he says. So, yes, I did have this dream. I did not remember what the dream said. But to the ending, when I awoke, impressed on my mind was, you get 2%. You get 2%. So I kept saying to myself, you get 2%. Maybe I only have 2% more of my life to live on earth. Maybe I'm going to go to rest. I said 2%, maybe only 2% of my brain left. But Yahweh gives and Yahweh takes. Blessed is the great name of Yahweh. So during the day, we got a call. That was preparation day. I got a call. And the call said, I said, look, tell me what the text is about, please, children. It's a busy day, preparation day. So they said, it looks like the overseer wants a speech on numbers or the clouds. Anything to comfort his people. I said, numbers? Did I just dream of 2%? I said, Yahweh, please. You know I don't know numbers. When the great number people on the other side, when they give their numbers, I sit there and I say, Well, who would say numbers? So I said, great father, you're going to have to do this. And I tried to get out of it. I called. I said, great overseer, numbers. I can't do numbers. I spoke last week or something to get out. So I said, okay, Yahweh, you're going to have to do this. And I said, children, Google, Israel says program, get something. And they Googled numbers, fractions in numbers. Now the 2%, can I just show you what 2% is? Like this. Can you see it? The two and the two little fancy things. This really gives you 2/100 in essence. 2/100. But then for you who like math, and you know they always say mathematically, always take your fractions to the lowest term. So let's take that fraction down. What would you get? You say 2 into 2 one time. You say 2 into 100 50 times. So in essence, your fraction becomes, I'll show you. It becomes 1/50. So I said, children, Google fractions quickly, please. 1/50, what could that be? It's a fraction. Fractions in scripture. So they went and they Googled quickly, or Israel says, and they got, of course, there are fractions in scripture. It is 1,657 times amount of fractions used in scripture. So I said, what? I couldn't believe it. I said, add the digits quickly, because I see that's what the great number people over there, they always add in the things. So I said, add these digits quickly. Somebody add quickly. What do you get? Tell me. 1, 6, 5, 7. 19? Yes. So when I got the 19, I say, maybe I'm going somewhere with this. Maybe Yahweh is going to take me somewhere. So I said, fractions, quickly, let's do fractions in scripture. I was self-talking, fractions, so let's go. One half is a fraction used in scripture. One over two. One over two. And there's a lovely account in the book of Kings where the king was going to cut the baby in half. Do you remember that? I know we brought the baby, but we don't have the time to show the baby because of everything, the rush and what was going on. So the king said, is it your baby? She said, yes. Is it yours? She said, yes. This baby is your both babies? It belongs to both of you, one baby? They said, yes. This one said, well, it's mine. So he said, you want me to cut the baby in half? So he calls for the baby. And he said, is it your baby? She said, well, king, cut it in half, really. Is it your baby? No, king, please do not cut the baby in half. Do you remember that? Okay, lovely. So whose baby is it? The one who said, please, king, do not cut the baby. And of course, we have more fractions, one third. How many times have you heard the great overseer say, one third of man is going to be killed? Yes? So are fractions used in scripture? Yes. And of course, so I said, so what am I going to do with the one-fifth, the one over 50 scripture, the 2% that I dreamt of? It gave me the fraction one over 50. What do I do with that? 50, 50. I have a chart. Who's helping with the chart, please? Oh, thank you. I want 50, 2% as the lowest fraction is one over 50. So I said, Father, 50, what do you want us to know about 50? And I know we have other speeches bringing up the idea of 50 and Pentecost. Thank you. Children, for homework, I'd like you to sing the song about Pentecost. I have a picture there for you. Pentecost, because 50 stands for Pentecost as well. Is that true, children? Do you remember the song? One, two, three, count with me all the way to Passover 2. Is that true? Very nice. And then, what really pressed on me was the Jubilee. Close your eye a minute, look at the 50, and open your eye. I'd like to imprint 50 on our eyes today, in our minds today. Great House of Yahweh, when you read Leviticus chapter 25, you will see that Great Father Yahweh is putting his foot down and he's saying, I am Yahweh. He is saying, do not, he's saying, consider the poor. Father Yahweh loves the poor. Throughout Leviticus chapter 50, you will find that he describes wonderfully what he wants us to do in the year of Jubilee. Jubilee 50 stands for salvation, deliverance, to start again. It means metamorphosis. Do you know what that means? The great number of people on the other side use the word that means the same as metamorphosis. It starts with a T. Metamorphosis is when the caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It's a form of change, and he used the word transformation. So the 50 means transformation. Do you see? And I thought, wow, what is Yahweh wanting us to understand here with the 50? It says, set my slaves free in the Jubilee. Set his slaves free. And not just let them go free. Yahweh gives details of what he wants. And then, if we still can't do it, then set them free. He said the loans, cancel the loans. Not just say, okay, you owe me $20,000, cancel. No, he has details. And if we cannot do it, cancel the loan. But all the people who kill themselves and the students who shoot themselves, no loans are never canceled in the great beastly system, great house of Yahweh. Do you see this is why we need Yahweh's way? We need Yahweh's way to come through the year of Jubilee 50. So read that for homework and see how Yahweh says, do not take advantage of the poor. There are the details he wants us to look at there. And he says, the land, do not touch my land when the Jubilee is here. Of course, he gives details. Trust him. He will give us so much food before, and when the 50th year comes, it's holy to him. No reaping and no sowing. He will provide. He's our Father. Do you agree, great house of Yahweh? He said, I will give you so much more before. And on that 50th year, stop. Do not plant. So now the earth mourns and fades because of it. And he says, give the land back. The land is mine, says great Yahweh. Do we understand? Yes, great house of Yahweh. So please, for homework, adults, you go ahead and read Leviticus chapter 25 and see the beauty in the law that Yahweh wants us to know. And it was a wonderful experience working with numbers. And I'm just going to tell you what the great overseer says in closing. Do you mind? Praise Yahweh. Just 1 second now to tell you what he says. He says, this 153, it was 153 fish that Yahweh showed you in the net. You never would think that would be anything. And the Sunday school teachers say, how many rocks did David have? Great house of Yahweh, how many rocks did David have in his sling to kill Goliath? How many rocks he had in the sling? One. And what does one stand for? Unity. And is that what we are fighting for? Yes, for unity in the great house of Yahweh. May Yahweh truly bless us and bless the rest of our class today and have a wonderful Sabbath. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Wow, that little girl's speech about the bakery wall was so inspiring that I decided to scrap what I had planned to speak about, and I'm going to continue with seeing our great teacher's face on the bakery wall. You can call this speech living prophecy. As my sister said before, there were three of us children in the car that Sabbath evening. I felt very honored that Yahweh allowed me to see the image of Pastor's face on the bakery wall, but I realized that he was honoring all the children. Did you hear me, children? Yahweh honored all of us that Sabbath. Do you remember how Pastor was bragging on the children that particular Sabbath? The date was 10/26/2013. The missionaries were on a trip down in Laredo, Texas. They actually started teaching on the prep day, 10/25, and continued during the Sabbath. Here are a few pictures of what was going on. May I have my pictures, please? Pastor was saying how amazed the high school students were that such young children were getting up to teach, that they stopped fooling around and started paying attention. In the 13th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 16, verse 5, Pastor explains more. It says, the teachers were milling around at the time, doing this and that, their normal service. And all of a sudden, they stopped in their tracks and turned to see who in the world this young child's teaching. And Pastor is crying here, and he says, praise Yahweh. He continues by saying, at that time, they took their seats and they listened. They listened to Yael 2 being fulfilled. Y'all are familiar with that, I'm sure. Let's read Yael 2:28. To make sure everyone knows what prophecy Pastor's talking about. Let's turn to Yael 2, verse 28. And it's found on page 693. And it reads, and it will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Yael made this prophecy hundreds of years ago. So fast forward to the year 2013, and now we see the children in the house of Yahweh are living prophecy. This was Pastor's dream for many years now, and children, we are part of the fulfillment of this dream and this amazing prophecy. During that sermon, Pastor really went into detail about all the meetings and teaching that went on and how the children's teaching really got through to the students. He even pointed out how they kept teaching right through dinner time, so Pastor was very pleased with the children prophesying. He not only built up their teaching that Sabbath, but also their attention to gaining knowledge. Now, during this sermon, a young child caught Pastor's attention, so much so that Pastor stopped to take note of what the child was doing. This is what he said in verse 39. My heart fills with joy every time I see young children, that if they were of the world, they wouldn't even be able to write or read or anything. Here they are, got a pencil in one hand. They're turning those scriptures and finding them and reading them with the other hand. This is beautiful to watch. It makes me just want to stop and watch them. Children, this is also part of Pastor's dream, that we would love the scriptures enough to sit eagerly, taking notes as the greatest teacher in the world teaches us from the Book of Life. This is where true joy comes from. Now, in conclusion, I want to point out to you something about the image on the bakery wall. Pastor can be seen doing two things. Holding his phone in the right hand, doing the work of Yahweh, and having his Sabbath bread in his left hand, enjoying Yahweh's blessings. In chapter 17, verse 48, Pastor is speaking about this miracle that Yahweh showed us on the bakery wall. He said, "Think you could do that? Figure out how I did that. I know how I did it. I serve Yahweh. Our Father is Yahsum." That's what our bakery women said. Praise Yahweh. So I want to encourage you children, and I'm talking to all the children, including the adults, that we should make sure we are involved in the work of Yahweh and find enjoyment in the blessings from his great house, just like Pastor was doing in the bakery wall image. May Yahweh bless your understanding, and I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. It's an honor and privilege to stand before the called out ones of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The message I am bringing to you today is called, Don't Forget. Yahweh knew this time period would be difficult, sisters. Remember the prophet Daniel said in chapter 7, verse 25, that the fourth beast would come and he would mentally attack the saints of Yahweh to try to wear us out. But Yahweh had a plan to counteract this. And we can see it for ourselves in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Please turn there. It's on page 808. And I'll read it to you. It says, Luke 21, verse 28. So when these things begin to come to pass in this last generation, we know, then look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And that is Yahweh's tactic to get us to look up. Sisters. And remember, look up means cheer up, rejoice. Ever since August 25th, 2011, Yahweh, through our high priest Yeshua Messiah, has been giving signs to his house. But do we still notice these signs, sisters? Is it still exciting to us today to look up at the clouds? Or are these signs no longer encouraging? Have we forgotten? My purpose today is to stir up your pure minds to remembrance. Sometimes the day-to-day grind can really get us down. And of course, we're in the greatest time of testing ever. So we have to remember. For the next few minutes, I want you to check your tests at the door, set aside your problems, and don't even worry for one second. I want you to focus on how blessed we are to be in the house of Yahweh. May I have my first picture, please? What comes to mind when you see this? Is there one before that? I had one before that. Should be the donkey. Oh. Is there a donkey cloud picture? Okay, they're giving away my whole speech. Here we go, that's it. Gotta rewind, please. There it is, okay. What comes to mind when you see this picture, sisters? Hopefully many things, like donkey cloud, first seen by pastor, it's the first sign. Maybe tethered to the choicest branch. It should also bring many positive emotions along with it. May I have my second picture, please? Now, this is a different kind of a sign. You probably wouldn't expect it, but no. Now, my second picture, please. Thank you. No. Okay, now, the point of interest on this particular picture is not the donuts in the middle of the menu, okay? I want you to focus on the bottom of the sign where it says, how many days to Yeshua's memorial? How many days? 169, right. Okay, so this is the menu that was there on Sabbath night when pastor's face was seen on the bakery wall. Now, I'll come back to this number, 169, in a minute, but let's move on to my next picture, please. I was amazed when the children pointed this out to me. Now, we didn't know it at the time, but the parking lights shining through a plant projected pastor's face on the wall of the bakery. Are you starting to remember? Now, let's go back to that number, 169. It's the Hebrew word ohel and means the same as 168, a tent, as clearly conspicuous from a distance, covering, dwelling place, home, and tabernacle. And it comes from 166, which means to be clear, shineth. Now, this was a very clear image of our pastor on the bakery wall, sisters. It was so clear, when I took the picture into the cafeteria and showed it to people, they were like, oh yeah, I see him, right away. And of course, the lights had to shine, like the meaning of the word said. They had to shine for this picture to come up. The date this picture was taken was 10:25. This was the first night when the three children saw pastor there on the wall. They did a great job of bringing this out today, didn't they? There's so many details which help us to see how special this was. Pastor even called it a true miracle in one of his later sermons. And if we read in Psalms 105, verse 5, we see what Yahweh says about true miracles. Psalm 105, verse 5 says, remember his wondrous deeds which he has done. Remember his miracles and the judgments from his mouth. So the date, 125, for time's sake, I'm not going to cover all the numbers and their meanings, but in the Greek it stuck out to me because it meant infant, babe, young child, child. Wasn't it the young children who saw that picture first? And wasn't it pastor who was building up the children that very night? I thought that was very encouraging. And just as a side note, 1025 is the address for T&P Lane, where the house of Yahweh was established, and where the address is today. Praise Yahweh. So that was the first night. Now, may I have my fourth picture, please? This one was taken on 1026. The second night we saw the image, and I was asked to bring my car back to the bakery to see if the image could still be seen. I was amazed, because not only was it there, but it was clearer than the night before. It was just so awesome to see his face there. And it was such a joyful event. And what made it so joyful was not just seeing it, but that we could share it with everyone. That was amazing to me. So this particular picture was taken at 7:37 in the evening. And that number comes from 7:40, which means, of all things, bread. And they go into describing this bread perfectly, saying, and this is amazing to me, a small loaf, showbread, a cake composed of flour and water, baked in shape, either oblong or round, about as thick as the thumb. Now, my thumb's a little small, but Pastor's is probably just perfect to the width of the Sabbath bread. And that's pretty much what he had right there in that picture. And isn't Yahweh awesome, sisters? Isn't he awesome? You know, Pastor said in the 13th book of Israel, chapter 16, verse 64, you don't see Yahweh taking care of things, you know. You can see after he's done it. You can see where he planned this thing thousands of years ago to take care of his house. And in 70, he continues, you can't do that. You just can't. No one could do this except Yahweh himself. And he did it for us, sisters, to encourage his family that we are in the right place at the right time, following the one sent to bring an end to all this misery and suffering taking place today. He knew we'd be here, and it was in our DNA, actually. And Pastor, he puts it so clearly in this book. Read chapter 16 in its entirety. It's sermon 10, 25, 26, 13. May I have my last picture, please? Don't forget. We need to be looking up and lifting up our heads and cheering up and rejoicing. Yes, finding the blessings in our trials and tribulations. I know there's many right now, but great is our reward in heaven, sisters. I want to encourage you with this closing scripture in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait on Yahweh will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Thinking only on our tests and trials will make us weak and faint at heart. But if we can think on these signs, the encouragement they bring, and focus on the great work we've been called to do and be a part of in these last days, we will gain this strength Yahweh is offering us. And we will not only endure, sisters, we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and serve with Pastor, Yahshua, and Yahweh for all eternity. So please, don't forget, family of Yahweh. It's been an honor and privilege to stand before you today. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Please stand, and I will turn it over to our next teacher.
Saints of Yahweh, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'd like to begin taking you back to August 24th, 2014. That's almost a year and a half ago. Pastor was 4 days from becoming 80 years old. The sun was rising in the morning, and just above the sun were the beautiful, bright, large font size, so I could see it, gold and white letters that said YHWH. What does YHWH stand for? Yes, praise Yahweh. So I quickly called for a photographer to take a picture, and when I arrived at the 44, I looked up at the sky, still above the same sun there, and the WH had faded away, but the YH still remained strong. Now, isn't that awesome? Now, tell me, what does the YH represent? Yisroel Hawkins, you've got it. You're thinking just like me. So the photographer gave me a sheet of paper that gave all the details about that picture. And I don't have time for it all, but the theme for this is to be white. To be white for your notes. It was picture number 3838. In the Hebrew, that means white like the moon from 3835 to be or become white. Your mind should be going on like popcorn right now, thinking of all those scriptures that relate to white, right? That's what mine was doing. So I went to the Yisrael Says program, the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 28, verse 8. This refers to Daniel 12:10. Many will be purified and made white and tested, but none of the wicked are going to understand that. And in the third book of Israel, chapter 28, third book of Israel, chapter 28, verse 104, this refers to Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes will be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Notice, it can be blotted out. It can fade away like the WH faded away, even though it was written there, but it can be blotted out if you're not fully a part of the body. Now, in the Greek 38:38, this means full-ended, entire completion. And the scripture that came to my mind there was Revelation 10:7. Can we quote that together? But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak, when he begins to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished as he declared to his servants the prophets. I love that scripture. So the time that the photo was taken was 7:29 a.m., the Hebrew word for 729 is to be firm. The YH stayed firm in the sky. It did not waver. Does Yisrael Hawkins stay firm today in the great house of Yahweh? Has he ever wavered? He doesn't waver for a moment. He has stood strong for the duration of time, and he will never fade away. The Greek word 729 is unsewed of a single piece without seam. And when I thought of that, I thought of this white raiment. We are becoming in unity. That is our goal. Yisrael Hawkins is dedicated to bringing us into unity, isn't he? Praise Yahweh, and that's his job. And our job, our goal, is to never fade away from Yahweh's house. 3 out of 4 people have faded away. 3 out of 4 people give up on the plan of Yahweh. I went to the fourth book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 99. Pastor says, I hate that you don't know the sweat and the tears that I have been through trying to get the people in unity, knowing that Spirit Holy will not work until we come into this unity. You see, to see it fade away, brothers, because of division hurts. I know that the love is not here for one another that we need. We will get it, and we can get it. We're closer to it today than ever before. Do you believe that? Praise Yahweh. I know because Yahweh has promised us he will give us his gifts of Spirit Holy in these last days. I know that we are going to receive them. They are just going to take a little longer. Now, this was written back a while ago. Today and last sermon, Khan Shaul said last week that we are in the last part of these last days. We've got to redeem the time. It is so short. Did you know that we're just 95 days to the great Yahshua's memorial? 95 days to come into unity. We can do it. And we have all the tools we need, don't you agree? We have the peaceful solution, our overseer teaching us, and all the wonderful messages coming forward. So I brought a tool with me today. This is a great tool to have. And I know if you remember the last time our overseer spoke, his last words out of his mouth before he told us how much he loves us all, he said, I'm going to hammer on you until you become perfect, and then I will have eternity with you. Praise Yahweh. May I have my photo, please? Yes, Yisrael Abel Hawkins will never fade away. He has proven that to Yahweh. He's proven it to Yahshua Messiah, and he is proving it to us. He is very faithful and dedicated and loyal to all of us. I'd like to refer to the responsibility unit, and on page 41, I want to share something, and I give you this assignment. If you can during the week, go to page 41 in the responsibility unit, and I want to emphasize just a few words out of this. Maybe we can do it. Take your time to do it right. Realize that unity can be. Let's not fight. Diligent effort is what we need to make it right. Keeping true peace as the goal in our sight. So I have a very special presentation for you as I close my little speech here, and I invite my assistants to come up. So remember these words. Be encouraged. Let's become that white raiment in unity with the great house of Yahweh now and for all eternity. And after this, we will turn the podium over to the next speaker. Be seated. The title of my speech today is Afflicted. Now, some years back in 2008, this great house was afflicted. And I'd like to read Matthew 24, verses 9. And then you'll be handed over to be afflicted, and they will kill you and will be hated above all people for my name's sake. Afflicted. In the Learner's Dictionary on dictionary.com, it says, if you are afflicted by pain, illness, or distress, it affects you badly, and it makes you suffer. And it's from the Latin, to cast down, to knock. And in 2008, that was when the pastor and overseer of the house of Yahweh, Israel Hawkins, was arrested. He was arrested on 2/12/2008. And it brought a lot of great sadness. I remember that day very well. And then the following day when I found out. Because you could feel that something in the air had occurred. And on the next day, when I found out from my mother, and then later from my supervisor, I remember she read to us a letter that had been written way before this had even taken place. On the 6th. Of that month. And she explained to us what she'd been told. And she was telling us that we had to stand strong and stay in our place. She says, no matter what occurs, we had to be and prove to Yahweh where our hearts were. And she wasn't the only one. Throughout the house of Yahweh, I got to see this beauty in so many people where they kept on reminding us multiple times throughout the day, maybe because something occurred or somebody got sad, they kept on reminding us that we had to stay in our place, that we had a job to do. We had a responsibility to ourselves and to others. And we were afflicted. You could feel it. There was emotions going up, going down, sideways. There was sadness. There were some tears. There were some people going, I don't know why this is going on. I don't know why. And then we have to say, calm down. Calm down. It's in scriptures. I said, this is just a sign of the times. There's nothing to worry about. They said we were going to go through this. When did he say that?
When? I don't remember. That's because you just need to calm down. If you look back, you'll remember there were some sermons, many a sermon, that talked about the persecution that was going to come to this house in the last days, and that we had to be strong for it. And so those are the things that everyone kept on repeating. Stay strong. You know, stay in the work. Stay in your place. Whatever you've been appointed to do, you're stuck with it. Keep at it. Nothing can change. We all have to, you know, work together. And there were some bad times, great times, even a few great times. I mean, this might sound bad, but it's kind of joyful when you get to see prophecy take place in front of your eyes. You're like, wow, prophecy in action. I can't believe I'm here. I want a front stage row. I want to see a little bit more. I actually kind of desired to actually go to the trials, but sadly that wasn't available for me. I had to stay in my place. At the time, my place was the cafeteria, so there was a lot of food being cooked. So I know that people were really going through a hard time because they kept on eating. When there's trouble, they come to the cafeteria. There's no doubt. So, to be encouraging, I like to read Ecclesiastes 7, verses 14. Be pleased when things go well, but when times are bad, consider. Yahweh has made one as well as the other, and man will never know what lies ahead of him. We never know. We have to take the bad with the great. I remember the first Sabbath that we had without the overseer, Israel Hawkins. It was quiet. People came in with their sackcloths, and we had a bucket of ashes, us door workers, our foot sprayers. Actually, at the time, we had to duck our feet in water, and we had to grab a little bit and sprinkle it on each person's head because we were in mourning. We were praying day and night. There was fasting going on. People carried on. We prayed for the work to continue. It was a time period where Yahweh could see what was in our hearts because what we did reflected on what we believed. If we ran, then, well, we lost our life. But if we stayed, if we held on, even though we were afraid, some of us were afraid, some of us were sad, some of us were miserable. There were so many emotions going on. And I would like to read Matithia 16, verse 25. For whoever will save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. And I know that there were some, they ran so far they were out of the state. Some even left their house and went and stayed in hotels and things. Well, their health declined. Some of those are no longer here. We have to remember that when the times get tough and the times are not necessarily going to be like that day, we have to stick together and work together. And I ask all of us if we will stand in our place and let us lose our lives to the work of Yahweh. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, so today I will be continuing on the topic of how Yahweh uses numbers in all of his words and all of his works. And today I'm going to be focusing on a number of a year, many years ago, and it's 1987. Who remembers what occurred in 1987? Yes, that's right. It's the year that the first edition of the Book of Yahweh was printed and made available to Yahweh's people according to prophecy. Okay, so why did it have to come back? Why was it lost? If you all turn over to Daniel 11:31, here's one scripture that immediately comes to our minds when we think of the book of Yahweh, the book of the law. And here it's mentioned as a daily sacrifice. Because remember, Yahweh had commanded that the laws were to be read every day. So it says, "And the army will stand on his part." It's on page 683, Daniel 11:31. "And the army will stand on his part." That's
the Roman Catholic Church's army, and they will pollute the sanctuary of strength. Notice that word will. It's going to come to pass. And they will take away the daily sacrifice, and they will place the Lord of Heaven. Because remember, remember in Genesis how mankind chose to sin, so that pattern kept going on and on. So they rejected Yahweh. So that's where the daily sacrifice was taken away. But if you just turn the page over, you see Daniel 12, verse 4. And notice the words very carefully. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. We're in the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Not knowledge of the increase in knowledge in the nuclear bombs, the computer, but also Yahweh's knowledge. And then in verse 7, he says, then I heard a man clothed in linen who on that future day is teaching. So I wonder what he's going to be teaching. Where is he going to be teaching from? And then skip down to verse 9, and it says, but he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So notice that's a promise right there, that those words were sealed and they're going to be restored in the time of the end. So thinking about the book of Yahweh and how amazing it is and how what a valuable treasure it is to have Yahweh's words and his laws with us. But we can't understand it without a teacher. We always have to have a teacher. If you turn over to Isaiah 34, verse 16, this is one of the scriptures that we refer to a lot. But if you notice, it says, search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these things will be neglected. So it's assured there, not one of these things written in the book of Yahweh will fail. For it is written, Yahweh is their shepherd, they shall not want. For his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. Now, have you ever wondered how, or maybe thought about why Yahweh allowed and inspired the prophet Isaiah to write a piece of Psalm 23 in there? Ever since I was young, I always used to think, why did it say, Yahweh is their shepherd, they shall not want? Why did he write that there? Well, if you go to Psalm 23 and verse 1, it's really amazing the words that are there. And it's on page 442. Okay, so verse 1 reads, Yahweh is our shepherd, we shall not want. Verse 2, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. And we know that means at Abel. And verse 3, notice the very first words, Yahweh restores our life. Yahweh restores our life. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So if you think about the commandment given there, search out the book of Yahweh. It says not one of these things will be neglected. All the prophecies will be fulfilled. But then he says, Yahweh is our shepherd. And you go to Psalm 23, he says, Yahweh restores our life. It shows that Yahweh had a plan to bring forth the last day's witness to restore the way of life. Now, the number 1987, when you look it up in the Strong's in Hebrew, well, first I want to go to the Greek. It means to put the mind upon, to comprehend, or to be acquainted with, to know. And it comes from 2186 and 3563. And it means to know of, to understand. And in history, in the book of Yahweh, all of Yahweh's teachers of righteousness, they upheld that. They read the book of Yahweh. They taught the book of Yahweh to the people who were under them. They taught it to their children. And one example that you can go that comes to my mind is in 2 Kings 22, which is also repeated in 2 Chronicles 34, about King Josiah. And when, if you turn there, it's on page 322. It's 2 Kings 22 and verse 8. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Yahweh. So Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. And in verse 11 it says, and as soon as the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king gave a command to Hilkiah the high priest and the other people there. And it says in verse 13, go inquire of Yahweh for me, for the people and for all Yada, about the words that have been found in this book. And in these last days, we can relate to that. Because Yahweh's laws govern every aspect of our lives. And Yahweh has restored that teacher in these last days. Now, In the Greek, it means to know of or to understand. And if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, there's another example there of the priest of Yahweh, Azariah, when they had to teach the people, they had to spend time teaching the people the laws of Yahweh and cleansing them from the God worship they had been taught. And in verse 8, this is Nehemiah 8:8, it says, they explained the readings from the book of the law, making it comprehensible so they might understand the meaning. And do we have a teacher in these last days who reads us the book of the law and makes it comprehensible? Praise Yahweh. Now, in teaching us the book of the law, when you look at the word 1987 in Hebrew, it goes back to number 1986, and that means to strike down. And we're striking down Satan's way, but how? To hammer, stamp, conquer, disband, smite, break down, beat down, overcome. And we think of the word overcome, you can go to Revelation 2, and Yahshua said many things about that word overcome. And the last days group. He says in Revelation 2 verse 7, this is just one. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, that's the laws of Yahweh, says to the called out ones of Yahweh. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of Yahweh. Now, in the 13th book of Israel, chapter 25, this is just one place where a pastor talks about it, and it's on page 272. And in verse 22, he says, our foundation is the prophets and the apostles and what they wrote with Yahshua. You can't understand any of these things without it. The seals. Everything was sealed. Not in Daniel's time. It was sealed there too, but it was sealed way back in Genesis where no one had it. They couldn't get salvation and they had to qualify for it. And in verse 25, he says, we're the ones who will bring it through, of course, with Yahshua's help, through Yahweh's guidance. Okay, so if you think about the tree of life, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of Yahweh. What else do we know about the tree of life? In Revelation 22:14, Yahshua said, blessed are those who keep his laws, that they might have right to the tree of life. Now, what do we have to overcome? In Genesis 4, remember what Yahweh said to Cain, the desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. Because previously in chapter 3, it shows how mankind had chose the way of sin because it looked desirable. Okay, so with that in mind, we know that we have the teacher in the last days. Yahshua opens the seals. Can I have the picture, please? Okay, right. Yahshua, our high priest, puts these signs in the clouds for us to see. And there is the one that Pastor saw first, the donkey in the cloud, which reminds us of Genesis 49:1-10, where it shows that we are the second donkey. But in Revelation 6:1, it shows that the lamb, who is Yahshua, opens these seals to the last day's witness. And in Isaiah 11, if you think about what the Greek said, to know, to understand, to comprehend, remember how it talks about the last day's witness having that spirit of knowledge and understanding and wisdom, the spirit of counsel and the spirit of might, and that the high priest and Yezra Hawkins, the last day's witness, would be working with each other. And also remember positive law number 18, which means it says acquire the book of the law, which leads you to Deuteronomy 31:19. That I would like to read that if you would turn over there. Okay, it's Deuteronomy 31:19 on page 174. Now this perfect law is therefore written for you. Teach it to the children of Israel, or the children of Yisrael. Put it in their mouths so that I have this perfect law bearing witness for those who reverence Yahweh. Now, right there you can see that we're not only to just read the book of the law. We apply it in our lives and we teach it to our children. And it's all according to what's been written before. And you can see this in the pattern with Yahshua. When you think of him and how he taught his apostles, the disciples who became the apostles, like in Luke chapter 4, where it says that he was able to find what was written about himself in the book of Isaiah, and he taught it to the people, and they were totally amazed. So please remember all these things. Remember that Yahweh works with numbers. He shows his house things through numbers, like when Pastor had the snowflake vision, or the lot, 17, 28, and 74.
Yahweh shows us that he's there. He's working with us. He's in full control of everything that's going on in these last days. He's always been in control. He always will be. And he will bring this house to perfection. And just like Yahweh's work was always called the house of Yahweh, the book of the law was always called the book of Yahweh. And his laws never change. They will never fail. And remember the words of Isaiah 34:16, not one of these things will be neglected. And Yahweh is our shepherd, we shall not want, and we have our shepherd. And with this, if you all please stand, I'm going to turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, please be seated. The title to my speech today is a very simple one, Trust Yahweh. Recently, I was going through some things and had done some sample examination on myself and realized that I was not trusting our great Father Yahweh 100%. Oh, I was saying it in my words, but my actions weren't agreeing with those words. So I decided to do a word study on the word trust. A couple of days after I finished this study, I got the call to speak today. Obviously, I said yes. So I began going through the cloud pictures, many that we have, and not knowing any, having any idea what I was going to speak about. Well, I found one that went perfectly with the study I had just done. Needless to say, I had to chop it down to fit it in with my allotted time. Please show my first picture. As you can see, this picture was taken over the sanctuary. It was about a year ago. It was January of 2015. Please show my first video. You're going to see a face pop up and fade back out, so it'll help your eyes to adjust as it's coming in. So I want you to notice this face. It's looking at the sanctuary. It's smiling. It's joyful. Enjoying the message. You could say even agreeing with the message. But wait. Now comes the persecution. Would you show my next video, please? Again, you're going to see the face come in and fade out. As you can see, we darkened it a little bit so that this face could show up a little bit better. Now this face is looking away from the sanctuary. It's scared. Maybe it wants to run away. So my question to you is, do you believe that this person trusted in our great Father Yahweh? Please turn with me to Luke 21, verse 26. It's on page 808, Luke 21, verse 26. And it reads, "Men's courage failing them because of fear and because of the dread of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken." Please notice the side note, C. It says, "Hearts failing." Men's hearts failing then because of fear. That doesn't just pertain to the men. This pertains to the women as well as to the children. I looked up the word trust in the Webster's New World Dictionary, and it said, firm belief in the honesty, reliability, etc., of another. Faith, confident expectation, hope. Responsibility resulting from confidence placed in one, to have confidence in. We have to have that firm, unquestioning belief, faith, same thing. Belief and faith go hand in hand. It's the same thing. We have to have that firm, unquestioning belief or faith in our great Father Yahweh. When you do, you're showing loyalty to him. If you doubt, and when I say you, I'm speaking to myself just as much as anybody. If you doubt or question our great Father Yahweh in any way, shape, or form, you're not having that firm, unquestioning belief, faith. You're being double-minded. It's easy to trust our great Father Yahweh when everything is going smoothly. Everything's going okay. Not so easy when it's not going so well. In the third book of Yisrael, chapter 17, verse 53 and 60, our great overseer told us, "Established means to render firm or faithful. To trust or believe, to be permanent, not wishy-washy like the waves of the ocean chopping you around, but firm and permanent in his house. Established also means assurance. Now, if you can't give this assurance to Yahweh by determining you're going to do it no matter what, if he can't be assured of your faithfulness and your belief, then he can't work through you and put trust in you. He can't trust you with the governing of his house like he wants to do, of which he wants you to be a part. We can't trust Great Father Yahweh 1 minute and not trust him the next. Because once again, you're not firm in those beliefs, those faiths. Yahweh has a plan. It will come to pass as all the prophecies have so far. He's in full control of this plan. He's shown us in many, many ways. Nothing's going to occur outside of that plan. We can't change that plan. We can't stop that plan. We can't even slow that plan down. Praise Yahweh. It's the choice of each and every one of us to make that decision to trust our Great Father Yahweh 100% with our heart and with our mind. Please turn to Psalm 27, verse 14. It's on page 444. Psalm 27, verse 14. And it reads, "Be of great courage. Wait on Yahweh, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, we say, on Yahweh." It's not going to get any easier the closer we get to Yahweh's kingdom. Pastors told us that many times. It's not going to get any easier. We have to again, once again, prove to our Great Father Yahweh we will trust him with all of our heart and our mind. He is in control of this plan. This plan is going to come to pass as he said it would. Everything is going to work out. Trust Yahweh. It's been a great honor and blessing to speak before the called ones of the saints of the house of Yahweh, and I now present the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I have a confession to make, okay? I am really and truly sorry to disappoint every one of you because I don't have any pictures. Due to the fact in my old age my eyes have become dim and I can barely see the sky. Also, I do not have any amazing number research because for the life of me, I could not spell gematria. Also, I lost my copy of Numbers in Scriptures by Bollinger, and I don't own the keys of this blood. So what shall I do? What is a girl to do? Well, I turn to the one place that have all knowledge and wisdom, the book of Yahweh. We base our life on the book of Yahweh. So I'm going to read a scripture, and I want you to guess where in the book of Yahweh it says it. Ready? It's a little bit tough. My son and daughter, do not forget my law, but take instruction to heart. Yes, Proverbs chapter what? 3, yes, verse. Excellent. Yes, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My sons and daughter, do not forget my law, but take my instruction to heart. Notice the word there, forget. I'm going to speak about this word, forgetting, because I would like to ask, how say Yahweh, did we forget? The word forget from google.com means to fail to remember, to neglect, to put out of one's mind, cease to think or consider, abandon. So the opposite of forget is remember. Excellent. So again, Great House Sayari, I'm asking you, did we forget our Creator? No, we don't forget our Creator and His laws. There's an old adage growing up, it says, experience is the best teacher. Right? That's an old adage we grew up hearing over and over. Experience is the best teacher. Meaning, by your mistakes, you would learn. I personally don't believe in this. Because I read the book of Yahweh, and I believe in the book of Yahweh, these inspired words. And I don't forget the lessons it teaches of the things our forefathers and foremothers went through. So I don't need to make mistakes to learn. But it all goes back to not forgetting Yahweh. I have compiled a few numbers from the scriptures to explain my point. The first number is 5 and 2. The 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that Yeshua was able to feed the multitude with, thousands and thousands of peoples, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How was he able to do this, Great House of Yahweh? Because he had control over the microbes. Because they trusted him not to hurt him, not to hurt them. He had control, so they listened to him and was able to multiply. Okay, the next number is 70 times 7. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, Yeshua speaks about 70 times 7. Great House Yahweh, did we forget these numbers? It refers to how many times we must forgive our sisters. 70 times 7. Every time they trespass against you and sin against you, you are required to forgive them. So next week or tomorrow, this afternoon, when your sister rubs you wrong, what number are you going to remember? Yes, 70 times 7. The next number is the number 2, referring to the 2 owners. No one person can have 2 owners, because he will love one over the other. And this is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And also, the number 2 refers to the 2 greatest commandments Yeshua spoke about, to love your brothers and your sisters as yourself. The next number I would like to briefly speak about is the number 5 and 5. What does this refer to? You're right. The 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. How say are we? Which one are we? The 5 wise or the 5 foolish? The 5 wives, yes. And then the number 4. Referring to the 4 seeds. Great House of Yahweh, do we remember these 4 seeds? The seeds that fell on the wayside, the seeds that fell on the stony places, the seeds that fell on the thorns, and the seeds that fell on the rich ground. Which one are we? The rich ground. Those are the seeds we want to be. And the number 40. The number 40, as in Matthew chapter 4, Yeshua fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? And after all of this, what are you? You are hungry, right? You are at your lowest point after 40 days and 40 nights. You are at your lowest points. But Yeshua was strong enough, because he was grounded and he remembered the laws of Yahweh and the prophecies. He was able to resist Satan when she offered him all the riches of the world. How say Yahweh? Can we do that? Yes, we can. And for the children, the number 8. Do you know what about the number 8? The age 8? What occurred at the age 8? The king. Yes, there was a king at age 8. In 2 Kings chapter 22, his name was Josiah. He was able to rule at age 8. Why was he able to rule and walk in Yahweh's way at age 8? Because he was taught, number one, and number two, he seek knowledge at the priest's lips. He was able to do this and walk in Yahweh's way because he seek counsel from the priest. And the number one, the great throne of Yahweh, which all of we will have to sit before, stand before. How say Yahweh did? Do we remember this great throne? Yes. We all have to stand before it one day. And the number zero. Why did I pick the number zero? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to read verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was passed away. Jump down to verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and Yahweh himself would be with them. Verse 4. And Yahweh will wipe away all tears. That means zero tears. No more tears. And there will be no more death. No more death. Number zero. No more crying. Number zero. We all go through these things today, right? But at that time, there will be zero. There will be no more pain. No more ailments. My back hurt. My foot hurt. I cannot see. For the former things have passed away. House of Yahweh, you must remember these prophecies and believe in this prophecy. But on the opposite side, you'll have infinity. Infinite joy, infinite wisdom, and the world, it will have so much abundance in this when this prophecy comes to pass. In closing, I would like to go over the number 1616. If you notice, today's date is 1-16-16. So the great and awesome Pastor Israel Hawkins wanted you all to look at this number, 1616. And it says 1616, and it comes from the word 1481. So when you go to 1481, in the Strong Book of in the Strong's Concordance, it reads, lives as an alien, dwell as a stranger, implying less social rights than native, to be afraid, fear, reverence, gathered together, sojourn, gathered together, surely gathered together, assemble, gathered together, stand in awe. When you read this scripture, a scripture come to mind. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And it reads, but for you who reverence my name, reverence, not forgetting his laws, reverence in Yahweh's name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. No more pain, no more tears. And you will go out leaping like calves released from the stall. The word released. Remember what 1481 means, to gather together. So when I read Malachi 4:2, it brings to my memory the famous scripture, Jeremiah chapter 23, a prophecy for these last days. Remember this, sisters, the things, the work we have to accomplish. And it in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 3, found on page 591. Woe to the pastors, shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Verse 3, but I will gather the remnant. You notice the word? Gather the remnant. And it all stems from today's date, 1616. Isn't that amazing? The prophecy for us in these last days, to gather a remnant of my flock out from all countries where they have been driven. So remember, 1481 from 1616 gathered together all the multitudes, the teachings, and the work we have to do in these last days. Sisters, I thank you for your time, and I would like to turn it over to the next teacher.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is A Book of Remembrance. Be turning over to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. And it says, "Then those of you who reverence Yahweh spoke often one to another, and Yahweh paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written in his presence of those who gave reverence to Yahweh and who thought upon, considered, and regarded his name." Now, the word remembrance, if you can see at my board, it says it's the Hebrew word number 2146, and it's form number 2142. It says a memorable thing, day, or writing. It means memorial. It also means to mark so as to recognize, to mention, to think of, to retain in thought, so as to tell someone who can take action. Now, the Greek word is from number 5294 and is from number 5259 and 5087. And it says, putting a person in remembrance. Now, I want to draw to your attention an important event that took place in the past in preparation for the great Feast of Passover 2012, when we were practicing a very special song. Pastor wanted us to learn this song so that we could sing this song in memorial of a very special person. And he wanted us to sing this at Yeshua's memorial. So Pastor, he challenged all of us to study and to find the name of that person. And he said, you've got to know the name. And he said, if it doesn't mean what I told you, then you've got the wrong name. Do you remember that? Right. Now, in the 12th book of Israel, part 1, page 93, this is what Pastor said. He said, a person took a picture of a cloud over the homestead. And it was this face. I haven't seen it yet, but I will. But it was this face that was looking down, looking back this way toward the sanctuary, and down toward the sanctuary from the homestead. A woman was standing by the side of this face and looking down at that face. Then he said, now, we just started bringing out, you know, about this woman. That's an example, a true example that Yeshua gives us here. May I have my picture, please? Now, as you can see, there's a woman. Can you see her? There's a woman looking directly in Pastor's face. His face is circled right there. Can you see the glasses? Can you see that big smile? That's our pastor. And that's the woman that Pastor was speaking about. Isn't that amazing, House of Yahweh? Yes, it is amazing. You can clap for that. Now, an encouraging sign Yahweh has given to us. And that is confirming to us that Yahweh is not slack concerning his promises. And we got to believe that. Now, concerning the date of this picture, it was taken on 320. Now, that number 320, it's from number 311,
and it is the same number as 319. Number 320, it means later or latter. Number 311, it means after. Number 319, it says the last or the end. Now, this brings to mind the prophecy in Micaiah 4, 1-2, or Isaiah 2 and verse 2, showing that in the last days, Yahweh will establish his house to do a work. Has he not? And because of this, many more will say, let us go up to the house of Yahweh, the uplifting of Yahweh, our Father. Now, I looked up this word, later or latter, in the Merriam's Dictionary online. And it means belonging to a subsequent time or period. Now, this word subsequent, it means coming after, following in time, order, or place. So we can see here that the sign could not have been in any other time but now. Don't you agree? In these last days, a time when sin has reached its peak, a time when knowledge has increased, a time period when the witness Yisrael exists, a time when many more prophesied events are unfolding. Don't you agree? Now, concerning the time of this picture, it was taken at 5:06 p.m. in the afternoon. The number 5:06, it corresponds with number 5:05, and it is the same number as number 5:04. And it comes from number 5:02, which is the root word, and it says, to associate with, to learn and to teach. Does that ring a bell? What are we doing here in the house of Yahweh? We are learning what to teach so that we can teach others what we've learned. Isn't that true? So the woman Nora, who Yahshua taught and brought up in this work, is this not what we are doing? Is this not what she had been doing then? Yes. And quite interestingly, the date, 320, when this picture was taken in Greek, and the time in Hebrew, these two numbers, they do correspond. Well, let's see how. Now, in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, the number 320, it means the act of reading. It comes from 314, and it means to know again. Know certainly. It comes from 303, which is the root word, and it means repetition. Now, sisters, we have been taught in the house of Yahweh in Isaiah 34:16. It tells us to search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these things will be neglected. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it admonishes us to study to show ourselves approved. And that's what we are doing here today. Now, some examples that express that, you can think about the Bereans. They were more noble, scripture said, because they accepted the word of Yahweh with readiness, and many people believed. So I'd like to also make mention to you of the Apostle Kepher. In the book of Kepher, it says, stir up your pure minds to remembrance, to remember the words of the prophets and the apostles, and we can clearly say, Pastor, to remember his words also. And remember, he says, do not forget. And Yahweh said he is not slack concerning his promises, and he said, nevertheless, according to these promises, we look for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And that's what we are doing here today, aren't we? And that's what Nora was looking forward to. Yahshua said, wherever this message will be preached throughout the entire world, what she has done, this woman, will be also spoken of her as a memorial of her. so we can see how fitting it is that Yahweh gave us this sign in these last days. And in closing, my last scripture, I'd like you to be turning over to Malachi 3 and verse 17. And it says, "And they will be mine." Yahweh is claiming ownership right here. He said, "And they will be mine," says Yahweh, "in that day when I make up my jewels." And that brings to mind that a long time ago, there was a sermon in the house of Yahweh where one of the teachers taught, and he said, "We are jewels in the rough." And I always remember that scripture because we were jewels in the rough, and we are coming smoother now and being able to be presentable before Yahweh. But is this done by ourselves? No. We've got a teacher that teaches us week after week. He provided us classes so that we can go to exercise our mind, our thoughts, and to change our ways so that we can be fitted for his great kingdom. So, I want to be spared by Yahweh, because this scripture said, "I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." So we as jewels, we want to be spared, don't we? I want to be spared by Yahweh. Don't you, house of Yahweh, want to be spared by Yahweh? Now, I also want to let you know that this is a promise from Yahweh. So hold on to this promise and let us move forward, pleasing Yahweh, and be ready for his kingdom. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. About 8 years ago, I was thinking about the persecution in the house of Yahweh, where in Isaiah 43:28 says that Israel will be given to reproaches. So I looked up that word reproaches, and in the Strong's, it's Strong number 1421. And the Hebrew word is geduf. And the word reproaches, there's many words in there in the book of Yahweh, but that's the only one that pertains to the overseer. That's the only number. And it means to revile and hack with words. So what I did, I liked the word gadoof. I thought it was a pretty funny word. So I thought in my telephone, I put under the pastor's phone number, I put the word gadoof, so that I would remember every time I look at that, that I would see how a righteous man will stand up under much opposition to keep Yahweh's laws and to teach Yahweh's laws. So then about 6 months ago, I got a new phone. And one of the things that this phone does is when you put in someone's name and number, it gives them a color. So I put in gadoof, and it went purple. And I thought, wow, that is like pretty amazing. That's Yahweh. But then on 12/24, I decided with all what Pastor's talking about, us being careful when we go out in town, I better put his name way to the top so that if we need him, I can get him real quickly. So I did. I put an A before the word gadoof, A gadoof, and it went to the top, but when it did that, it changed colors. And I thought, oh no, we can't have that. The overseer is purple. So I thought, okay, I'll just put dot, dot, gadoof. And then it brought it up, and it went another color. It went red, orange. It went gray, green, light blue, dark blue. I kept on. I'm thinking, it's going to turn purple one of these times. Finally, I thought, well, maybe Yahweh's trying to tell me something. So I thought, maybe I need to be a little more reverent. The word gadoof sounds a little silly, but so I thought, okay, I'll put in overseer. And I put in pastor, I put in 1 cent, I put buffalo, Abel, branch, I put in anointed one, seventh Malik, 7/13 for the color purple. I put in 6/29, believe into the 1 cent. And finally, I just stopped and I said, I need to pray. I was like, so I did. And I, as I was done, I said, okay, what is the overseer to me? what is the overseer to us? He's Yahweh to us. Okay, Yahweh, enter to the top, purple. And I thought, wow. Now, you know, I have a lot more things to do than just play with my phone all day, but I really wanted him to be purple. So, but I thought, let me count how many times I had to try before I got, we got to the word, the color purple. It was 41 times. Now, that is amazing because, you know, it brings those colors up random. So purple should have come up a little closer to than 41 times later. So I went to the Strong's and I looked up the word 41. And it came from 5068. It means father of generosity. To volunteer, to present spontaneously, to offer willingly and freely. And isn't that what the overseer does? Freely what Yahweh has given us, him he's given to us. In the Greek, it comes from the word 40, meaning a state of holiness, sacred, pure, blameless, consecrated, holy one, separated from sin, consecrated to Yahweh, absolutely holy, one free from defilement. And then this word right here, which I just love, Yahwehness. Wouldn't you love to have that put on you and just be a part? That's what the overseer is. He is Yahwehness. So then I thought, well, let me look up the word 1224, because that was the date that I was doing this. And it comes from a place in Edom, and it's like an enclosure, a sheepfold. It means to gather grapes, the harvest, isolated, inaccessible, able, by height or fortification, a defense, a grape gatherer, fortify and walled up. In the Greek, it comes from 1223 and 939. It means to cross over, to come over, to pass through. 1223, a channel or an act, through. And it is through Israel Hawkins that we can get to our high priest that goes to Yahweh for us. And that's the channel, that's the only channel that we have to get to Yahweh is through our overseer. And it went to 939, to walk, to pace the foot, denotes that which one steps, a foot. And it said, see Acts 3:7. Acts 3:7 says, and he took him by the right hand. Now, we know who that's talking about, right? And that comes from Isaiah 45:1. This is what Yahweh says to his anointed for uprightness, whom I have taken by his right hand. And also it talked about the foot, so I went to Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings glad tidings, preaches, and who publishes peace, who brings glad tidings, preaches, of righteousness, who publishes salvation. That's Matthew 24:14. And Mark 13:10 preaches and publishes the message, that joyous message of the kingdom. So, I'm thinking that Yahweh is all about Israel Hawkins. That's all it is. It's all about Israel Hawkins, and that's why he's Yahweh to us. And what's amazing, sisters, is Israel Hawkins is all about us. He's all about getting us prepared to present, just as Abel presented, that perfect offering to Yahweh, that acceptable offering. And it's amazing that all these numbers refer to the overseer. So one day, we're in town after I did all this on my phone, and I didn't tell the person that I go to town with about this. And it's getting to the end of the day. And if you'd see how crazy it can be sometimes, we have papers and pens, we have receipts, we have forms, and somewhere in there was my phone. So my phone rang, and I'm like, well, I can't find it. Can you just find my phone and see who it is? Not thinking. So she picked up the phone. She looks at me. Yahweh calls you? I'm like, well, I'll tell you about that later. But as I prepare to turn it over to the next speaker, at this this point, I just want to say to those who have never been to the house of Yahweh, who have heard about the house of Yahweh, who are thinking of coming, make it quick. Hurry, get yourself ready, and come. Because you know what? Yahweh may be calling you.
Shalom. It's great to be before you again, and may everyone be seated, please. So today we're obviously lifting up, and so I wanted to talk a little bit about three things that lift me up. And the first thing is something that I saw. It was on the 6th month of the third day, 6th month, the year 13. And I was going to the cafeteria. It was like 6:24 in the morning. I was on my way to work, late for some reason. And I could, as I rounded the sanctuary, where the wall divides the men and women, I saw like a long cloud, and the sun was rising. It was beautiful, and I stopped, and I looked around. Nobody was around, so I got out to take pictures, and I could see. Could you show picture number one, please? I could see that in the cloud, if you can see it, if you start on the far end, which would be your left, it's a long line about 3 inches above. But if you could go ahead and show picture number two, please. I've got it kind of outlined there. Okay, now at that big end, it was like I could really see it really well there when I was there. It was like a long table, and it was big at the end down there, and you can see three people. I don't know if y'all can see them on that screen sitting there, and the one in the middle is pastor. But then you could see like heads going all the way down. It was over the dining room, the men's dining room. And it was like, I thought of a Seder table, but when I got to work after things settled down, we looked at it, and someone said it looks like the marriage supper because it's big at the end that pastor's on, and then it gets smaller, smaller, almost like he could look down. If he leaned over, he'd look down and see Abel at the small end. So it was like, I mean, it was so awesome. Now, I saw this on the sixth month, the third day. So it was 6:3:13, and in Strong's Hebrew, it says, cease, be feeble, faint. To thrust away, to cleanse, cast out, purge, and wash. And I thought, wow, that doesn't sound like a marriage supper. But then we were talking about it, and I remember the Kohan said there's the words for the bad guys and the words for us. So that's what we'll be doing, cleansing, purging out, cease from all the mess that's going on out there. And then I'm just going to give a few definitions here because I don't have much time. Okay, so in 6:24, which was the time, comes from 6:22, and it's to gather for any purpose. Hence, to receive, remove, destroy, leave behind, restore, to gather, gather in, to gather or collect. Something such as food. You know, everybody always thinks about food. I know I do. So Genesis 6:21, it talks about Noah taking the food, gathering the food to take into the ark, and gathering foods at harvest time and harvesting. So I thought that sounded a lot better. But in the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, 63:13 said to be cold, to be void of vital warmth. His heart was cold, was not moved with joy. And that's just how the world is, sisters. That's what we'll be leaving behind. We won't have to deal with that anymore. And then if you, in Greek, it doesn't have 63:13. So 6 is Abel, but 3 is the destroying angel. And 13 is locust, 24, indignation, 23 is to be greatly afflicted. So we know what's going to occur, and we know that we are greatly afflicted. But that picture really gave me hope for what's coming. And that's a picture of what we'll all be sitting there at the table. I guess, you know, we won't be right there at their table. We'll be at our table. But it's an awesome thing to look forward to. It's like Luke 21:28. So when these things begin to come to pass, Then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And we know that these clouds weren't given to us to make us believe, because we already believe without seeing. They're for us to look at and to feel comforted with and to talk about. Like, if anybody could think of other things to, I have pictures of that. It's on my phone, and people say they see other things in that picture, or there's other meanings to it. You know, we could talk about stuff like that and work on and keep our mind focused on Yahweh. Now, the second one hasn't been that long ago. It was like about maybe 3 months ago. And a sister and I were going into the cafeteria. It was like 5 in the morning, and the sky was very dark. And it must have been around new moon. I didn't write the date down. I didn't think to. But anyway, just as we were getting close to the door, I looked, and I saw this big Y in the sky. And it wasn't like bright, but it was the only thing there, and it was like a dim Y. But you could see it clearly. So I tried to take pictures, but it was too dark. But we were really excited, and we went in, and we're talking about it, and another sister came in, and she didn't see it, so I went out. I said, well, let's go see if it's still there. That was the morning breakfast was late. But anyway, so we went out, and she couldn't see it. And I kept telling her, you know, it's right there. It's right there. Can't you see it? It's a Y. And she said, the only thing I see there is the windmill. Now, I'm getting my contacts checked, and so is the other sister. But seriously, then I thought about it. If you could show picture number 3, the windmill. It brings us joy, doesn't it? Because we can see how Yahweh has made a plan for us in the end days, that we'll have lights. We'll be able to sit in the sanctuary and see. And Pastor has helped, you know, he's brought this stuff about. And so these things are very encouraging. We can look all around the 44 sisters. There's things everywhere that if you look at it and you think about it, it's really encouraging. And you can go back over the clouds. You can go back over everything. And you can't help but be lifted up. Now, the third thing is my own personal cloud. It was a dream I had. And I'm going to have to hurry because I don't have much time. But it was like this dream was so vivid. And me and some sisters, we were on the 44 and we're standing around. We got our hands raised up praising Yahweh. And up on that cloud above us, there was a beautiful cloud, and there was Pastor. Could you show picture number 4? And there was a woman with him, and I was looking. I was trying to figure out who that woman was up there with Pastor on the cloud, but we were really excited. But sisters, all of a sudden, I just felt like my whole world had come to an end, because I realized that they were up there. And we were down. We weren't up there with him. And I knew that he was going and we weren't going with him. It was a terrible, horrible feeling. And I looked up at him and I said, Pastor, only one? Only one? We're not going? And he looked at me and he looked like this picture. I love this picture. I don't know if you can see it. It's the calendar. He looked just like that, and his smile was so beautiful and warm, and his eyes were so reassuring. And he said to me, it's okay. It's okay. You still have time, but you don't have much time. We don't have much time, sisters. He said, but you can still do it. You can overcome, and you can be up here with me. And could you show picture number 5? And sisters, we can do it. All we have to do is focus on overcoming. And I think back, that's been a few years ago, quite a few. And I look and I still see things that I keep doing, mistakes I keep making. But look, we still have time. And we can do it. And House of Yahweh, let's do it. Let's get ready, because Pastor said time is short. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Praise God. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I want to share an experience with you all today that occurred a few years ago. It was on February 6, 2008. And Aquana called me and she asked me, overseer needed a letter typed. And she was tied up with another part of the work Yahweh. So she asked me if I would run over and do it because he wanted it right away. Didn't really think much about it, because anybody who knows anything about the overseer knows he wants everything right away. So I went over to see what it was that he needed typed, and I remember picking up his notebook, and I just remember my hands starting to shake. And I remember it so clearly. It was a Wednesday night, and it was cold, and I remember my hands just shaking as I read this letter. And I want to read it to you all tonight. Some of you may remember this, but it's probably been a long time since you've heard it. Some of you may have never heard it before. And if we could please put it on the monitor as well. And this letter was dated 2608, and it says, "To whom it may concern, I have reason to believe that the municipal department, the law enforcement, et cetera, are out to kill me. I am told that they intend to assassinate me. So before I am killed, or if Yahweh allows them to kill me, be it known to all that I, Yisrael Hawkins, do will to the house of Yahweh everything that I own. And I do mean everything. I only ask that the priests of Yahweh, the priests of the house of Yahweh, will take care of all the workers, the children, the families, and keep the work going according to the laws of Yahweh as I have established it under the inspiration of Yahweh. The persecution has increased because we have exposed the sins of the religions they follow. The prophet Daniel said some will fall, even among those with understanding. Some will fall to test others. I hope all of you will remain strong. If they kill me, I will be resurrected and will see you at the beginning of the millennium, the 100-year reign of Revelation 20. I don't mind dying if it's Yahweh's will. I do hate to die at the hands of men. Remember, we are the only prophesied house of Yahweh. We, all who endure until the end, in the faith Yahweh gives us, will have a place in the kingdom of Yahweh forever. We then will have the power to stop the evil we all see that is taking place at this time." And then it says, "To the house of Yahweh priests," remember, I'm just reading overseer's letter, "to the house of Yahweh priests, please keep all the workers in the same offices we have placed them now. Please make sure they have all their needs met. Please do your best to keep the work going. I don't know how far Yahweh will allow them to go. I pray it's not far. I love all of you. Be faithful to Yahweh and his laws. Love, true love, Yisrael Hawkins." Praise Yahweh. Now, if you notice, the date on this letter is 2608. He, our overseer, was arrested on 2/12. This letter, or this will, was given under inspiration of Yahweh 6 days before he was arrested. And you can tell by the tone of the letter that he wasn't exactly sure what would occur. He wasn't sure if he would be asked to sacrifice his life for the work of Yahweh. But you can see, just as, you know, Yeshua in Matthew 26:39, he said, "Not my will, your will. I don't mind dying if it's for the work of Yahweh." And we see the same example. But what I really want to point out to us all today is the love and the concern that our overseer showed for us in this letter, in this will. You know, he didn't say, "Sell my property, get me money, and get me out." You know, he didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, "Drop to your knees and pray for me. Pray that Yahweh will allow this to pass." What did he say? He said, "Take care of the workers. Take care of the families. Be faithful to Yahweh and his laws." And the date this letter was written was, or I keep calling it a letter, but it was a will. It was a will. It was on 2608. And I looked up that number. I'm not real great with the numbers, so just bear with me on this. But in Hebrew, the word number 2608 is actually the proper name, Kenania. And it comes from two other words. Word number 3050, which is Yahweh's name. Word number 3050 is Yahweh's name. And word number 2603. And word number 2603 means to bend or stoop to an inferior. Now, that blew my mind, because remember, our overseer was just about to be taken by the governments of man. He was about to be taken in. How more inferior can you get than the governments of the beastly system? But yet, it says to bend or stoop to them. And remember, our overseer went willingly. He didn't try to fight them. He went willingly. So we can see that that's fulfilled. And more importantly, this word means to implore, to petition, ask, be merciful, pray, make supplication.
Who was our overseer asking Yahweh to show mercy on? Us. That's right. And when overseer asked me to talk about this letter, this will, I was kind of really taken back because I was like, I just typed it. It's not like I wrote it. It's not like I had the inspiration of Yahweh. All I did was do what I do every single day. I get given something, I type it, I give it back. And so when I sat down to work on this, I was really begging Yahweh because I'm like, Yahweh, I mean, what am I supposed to say? I typed this letter. Yahweh bless you. You know, I mean, what was I going to say? And then I realized, and I'm very thankful that he made me see we are a living testimony of the work of Yahweh. Yes, we praise Yahweh. We do what we do on a daily basis. We don't do it for honor. We don't do it for glory. We do it because it's our duty to do it. But in doing so, we are the living work of Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 2:12 states that we're one body, many members, but we're each doing our own part. And when we do those parts together, we are a witness. We are a living testimony of the work of Yahweh. And that's important to remember because, sisters, I know it's been tough lately. It has been tough. I'm not even going to try to say it. It hasn't been. And there's not one of us here who doesn't know and understand what it feels like to be laying on the floor just begging Yahweh, Yahweh, give me the strength to go one more day, to endure this situation one more minute, to overcome this sin. Not one of us who don't know and understand that. But then we get back up and we wipe our eyes and we go back to work because we know we love the work of Yahweh. It is our foundation. Praise Yahweh. We want the laws of Yahweh to be the foundation of every thought and action. We want that and we desire that. And that's what we have to remember. We can't get bogged down on the day-to-day grind, on the testing. It hurts. I know it hurts, sisters. But you know what? We are a living testimony that the laws of Yahweh work. And we can't ever forget that. And right quick, I want to read to you from the 8th book of Yisroel, part 1. This is from February 9th, 2008. This was after he wrote this will, but before he got arrested. And in verse 4, overseer says, I've really been bragging on you this week. Get ready for some tests now. I know you can stand through it. I know you'll come through it, and that's what makes it great. I don't feel like my works are effortless anymore. Praise Yahweh for that. So, and I just want to encourage us to remember that our overseer begs Yahweh for us every single day. He does. So whenever you really feel like you're at the bottom and you're having a hard time getting back up, remember that man is back there on his knees saying, Yahweh, give them the strength to be this living testimony, to be this witness of my work in these last days. And in 1 Corinthians 2:9, I don't want to read it because I'm out of time already, but it says that we can't even imagine the kingdom that Yahweh has prepared for us. And we have to look to that. We have to look to the big picture. And our overseer told us the two things we have to do are overcome sin and endure until the end. And I want to encourage you all to remember that and to remember what our overseer said in this letter, to humble ourselves and to be merciful to one another and to know that it's almost done, sisters. It's almost done, but we have to stand as a testimony for Yahweh's laws forever. And I do pray Yahweh will bless you all, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated. Shalom, everyone. Okay. The title of my speech is Yahweh is with his witness, and he is with his house. House of Yahweh, listen very carefully. There is no religion on the face of this earth that has been prophesied to be called the house of Yahweh, except us. Did you hear that? No other religion on the face of the whole earth. If there were to be another house of Yahweh, then Yahweh would have said in his prophecy, there will come one calling themselves the house of Yahweh, but in the latter days, the true house of Yahweh. Would he not? Because in Amos 3, verse 7, he says, I will have no other work other than the work that I've told you about in advance by my servants, the prophets. So do you realize where you're sitting right now? I mean, this should give you goosebumps right there. House of Yahweh, there is no religion on the face of this earth that has been commanded by Yahweh to look for signs and watch the skies except the house of Yahweh. Right here. Do you believe that? There is no other man other than the one that Yahweh has spoken of in advance that would be the one that Yahweh would choose in these last time period to lead this particular house. Remember, there's only one, into the kingdom. Does everybody know who that is? Yes. Israel Hawkins. So how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Yahweh. This is the house that our father Yahweh has built through the witness Israel and called us to in these last days. Now, I want to tell you how it all started. It all started because Pastor had a dream, and he had a dream about some numbers. Do you remember those numbers? There were three. Shout them out. Okay, yes, you got them. Now, remember we were all looking up these numbers. Everybody in the house of Yahweh was looking up these numbers. We were just like, oh, wow, it's his lot. You know, we were all, Strong's concordances were flying off the shelves. You know, Gesenius's, the dust was flying everywhere. We were so excited at that time. And do you remember the first cloud that was seen? What was that? The donkey cloud. And who saw it? Right. Do you realize that Yahweh gave the overseer the first sign? Yahshua put that there, and it was about Pastor, and it was about us. And it was about how we tether ourselves to our great teacher in this time period. We have to remember that. Yahweh built this house. Zechariah says, through this great man, he called us here. And this is our lot, to be tethered to our great teacher. Now, if you look up the year Pastor was born in Strong's Concordance, and this was already brought out, so this is nothing new. Remember, he was born in 1934, and it comes from 1933. But the amazing thing that was so cool about these numbers is it meant, I'm going to read it here. It says, to breathe. Gesenius says, to breathe after anything, to desire, to long for. The Greek means the same thing, 1934, to search for, to crave, to desire. The Hebrew and the Greek meaning almost the same thing. Is that amazing? That's the year our overseer was born. And it reminded me of Psalm 119:165, and it says, great peace have those who love your law. And Pastor, that side note there, he said that word love means to breathe heavily, to pant after the law, greatly desire. And you know, he recently said, I don't know of anyone who loves and desires this law more than me. He wasn't boasting. It's true. Israel Hawkins eats, sleeps, lives, dreams. Everything is about Yahweh's laws. Everything is about Yahweh's laws and how Yahweh's laws deal with people and will change the world. It's all about the laws with Israel Hawkins. Now, does anyone remember when our names were called out the day we were sealed? Does everybody, who remembers that? Raise your hand, House of Yahweh. Okay. It was the 14th day of Tishri. Remember that? And oh, we were just built up so much to that. Pastor kept talking about, you know, be ready for the 14th Tishri. And I was just like, well, I didn't really understand what it meant back then because I'm about, you know, I have to have somebody like explain it to me and then explain it to me again and then explain it again. But that was on 9/29/04. You remember that date? 9/29/04. And our names were called out before the heavens. Ah! It just gives you goosebumps. That word 9. That word 929, it means beast of burden, asses, donkeys, the donkey cloud. Our names were called out. We were sealed. We are the donkeys. We're tethered to our great teacher. I want to show you picture number one here. A great Kahan who called my name out, he sent me this picture that he saw when he was taking confessions in the Kahan conference room. Now, I don't know if you can see that. Can you see the donkey there? Okay, this is just a pole that's holding up a sukkah in the Kahan conference room. And they were taking confessions, and they looked over, and they're like, hey, there's a donkey. So he showed that to me, and I was just like, wow, that's amazing. In the priest's room where they're doing the confessions, and what do they see? They see a donkey that symbolizes what? Our tethering to our great teacher. Who remembers getting goosebumps the day that Pastor lifted up his hands and said, by the authority now, by the authority, listen to me closely, by the authority invested in me by Yahshua, under the direction of Holy Spirit, I do announce to all who can hear that I, Israel Hawkins, the last day's witness, do loose the four. Do you remember that day? That was on 9906. I said, okay, I wonder what 996 means. Did you know that it means to aid, specifically a rope or a chain for frapping a vessel? Frapping, I didn't know what that meant, but it means to bind or wrap tightly with ropes or chains. That day, Pastor loosed those chains. They weren't real chains, but he gave the authority for those wars to be loosed. Do you remember that? Yahweh always, always stands up for his house and his witness through numbers. He always does. Now, 3 days later, remember this number three. It's going to play a part later, but remember the number three. 3 days later was the conception of the nuclear baby. Do you remember that? And that was on 9-12. You look up that word 9-12, and it means a servant of Yahweh. And that was on September 12th. And it was 2006, and 2006 means surely, and it comes from 2005, and it means expressing surprise. And it's going to be a surprise, and it was a surprise to the world, because they still don't really understand that that prophecy was fulfilled that day. Now, what about Pastor's 40-day fast? Do you think that Yahweh had anything to do with that? Okay, we're going to talk about that now. Pastor, a great Kohana just quoted the same sermon, but I'm going to quote a different part. On 2-9 of 2008, Pastor says, the other day, after I was getting close to the 40 days of fasting, I looked at the calendar to see when my last day would be, because I had the first day marked, because I really didn't intend, it wasn't my intention to go 40 days when I started fasting. But the longer I went, the more I thought of going 40 days, because others in the scripture went 40 days. So I went and I looked at the calendar, and lo and behold, it said the establishment of the last day's house of Yahweh. So now Pastor didn't plan that. He went to the calendar and he looked, and that his 40th day was going to be on the anniversary of when the house of Yahweh was established. Now, somebody else already brought up the number 40, means holy. Pastor was at his most holy, close to Yahweh place that he could be, because he fasted those 40 days, right? We know what the fast brings us closer to Yahweh, right? So we know that number 40, we knew that he was close to Yahweh. The date he gave that sermon was 2908, and he was telling us about the fast. I looked up 2908 in Strong's Hebrew, and it means to be hungry. I said, Yahweh, you are so funny. It meant to go without food. And here the overseer is telling us, you know, about his fast and how he had just gotten to the point where he was the holiest. He was closest to Yahweh. 3 days later, what occurred? He got arrested. But Yahweh made sure he was so close to him. Yahweh made sure that his servant was close to him when he got arrested. I'd like to point out that Yahweh is amazing, because those 3 days, the word three in Strong's Hebrew dictionary means growth, green, to be green. And Pastor, he had grown to the point that he was ready for that particular test. He might have not have thought he was ready, because he's a very humble Oki. He might not have thought he was ready, but House of Yahweh, was Pastor ready for that test? Yes. I'd like to show picture number two, please. This is a subpoena that I was handed by the people of the world to testify at overseer's trial. And I was handed this subpoena. Let me just back up a little bit, because I got called for jury duty, and normally I always get rejected because I'm Hawkins. Well, this time I got put on the jury. I didn't really understand why, but now I understand they wanted me there because they wanted to be able to hand me the subpoena, I'm sure. So I got handed the subpoena, and it was on 32608. And the word 326 means courier, a person who delivers a message. I thought, that's amazing. So it really bothered me because this was not a message that I was really wanting to have because, you know, this is our overseer's trial. It was a very uncomfortable time period for us all. You know, it was just a very tough time. I didn't understand till later what this all meant because pastor's trial date on that subpoena, if you look very closely, was 9-22-08, and that was supposed to be his trial date. Okay, 9-22 means empty, void. There was never a trial. There was never a trial. House of Yahweh, I didn't realize at the time that I was given this. It was a message for me that it was never going to take place. I was never going to have to go there. He was never going to be tried. All those charges would be dropped because Yahweh is with his servant. He's with his witness. He's with his house. He's proven it time and time again throughout all of our time in the house of Yahweh. They're going to shoot us up with guns. He sent snow at Passover. Yahweh has never, ever, ever, ever left us. He will always be with us. He will never forsake us as long as we keep his laws, as long as we stand by our overseer, the great one sent. And he is the one sent in this time period, sisters. Yahweh is with his servant. He's with his servant and he's with us if we remain with his servant. That's the key. We cannot be on our own separate from our great teacher. We are tethered. We are tethered. Now, really quick, I know I'm out of time. I'm out of time. But do you remember when Pastor, he was still going through all the things. We didn't know that all the charges were dropped yet. And we thought we were going to surprise him. Remember, we were like, we're going to wear orange on the first day of the feast. Shh, don't tell Pastor. Yeah, right. So, do you remember that? Does everybody remember that? That was on 10-3-09 that we thought we were going to surprise Pastor and we were all going to come out in orange. But we wanted to support our teacher because we loved him so much. We wanted to wear that orange. We wanted to say, Pastor, we're with you on this. You're orange, we're orange. You're persecuted, we're persecuted. Because I'm telling you, I want to read Yochanan 7-7. I want to read Yochanan 7-7. Because remember, they had to prove that Pastor was the most hated man in the world. And it wasn't like this house of Yahweh, oh, he's the most hated man in the world. This man's so unrighteous. Let's just go get him out of the way. No. What does Scripture say about why Pastor was arrested? Yochanan 7, verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because of the testimony I bring against the world. That's why the world hates Pastor. That's why they wanted him dead. That's why they had plans to take him and just leave his car there. And where did he go? I don't know. That's why. Because, see, Pastor brings out what they're doing wrong. He shows them the dirt on their face. Turn to Yochanan 15. Yochanan 15. I'm going to read verse 22. Yochanan 15, verse 22. If Pastor Hawkins had not come and spoken to them, they would not have had their sins revealed. Do you realize that? That's Pastor's commission. That's what Yahweh inspires and urges him to do. He's commissioned to show the people of this world their sins. Because one day, sisters, they are going to turn. Even the quartet, the very ones that are starting these wars, these very people, these very nations are going to come and they are going to worship at the feet of our great overseer in these last days. Now, Pastor gave us, I have another picture. Pastor had written us a letter, and he said, I want to make sure that we really need to get right with Yahweh, so we're going to go. I'm asking you, I'm not telling you, but I'm asking a special request, a feast with no alcohol. And that was in 2010. You look up the word 2010, and it means to be quiet, to settle down, House of Yahweh. Now, many of you that were in the House of Yahweh prior, when we had invited alcohol to our feast, know that it wasn't quite as settled down. It wasn't as quiet. And ever since that time, it's been more quiet. The Kahans don't have to spend their time roaming around the camp putting us to bed at night so that we can get up in the morning, right? Think about all these numbers and what it shows. I am completely out of time. I'm completely out of time. But House of Yahweh, I want to encourage you. In Habakkuk 1, verse 5, it says, "Look among the heathen and watch, watch, House of Yahweh, and wonder with astonishment, for I will work a work in your day," you sitting right here in this great house, "in your day, which you would not believe it if it were told to you." Habakkuk 2, 2 through 4. "So Yahweh answered and said to me, 'Write the vision, engrave it clearly upon tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's right around the corner now. But at the end, now, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it seems slow, many have fallen away, many have left. Though it seems slow, you right here, you jewels, you holy nation, you ones that are tethered to our great teacher, you wait, because it's coming and it's not going to delay." Praise Yahweh. And I have the great honor to introduce our last speaker for today. Praise Yahweh, and may Yahweh bless you all.
Shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom. You may all be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. One thing I love about Thursdays and Friday morning, you get to find out what's on the menu for Sabbath. What's on the menu for Sabbath, people? It's not just pizza. It's a deep dish pizza. When I saw that, Great Kohana, I was like, "Ooh, this is going to be a great Sabbath." But we're not just serving up deep dish pizza. We're also serving some deep knowledge today. Do you find that true? So as I serve you the last slice of this deep knowledge, I'd like for you to really, really pay close attention. Really pay close attention. You have to take close attention, pay close attention to every single detail. What Yahweh wants us all to know is that He's in full control. Do not fear and trust in Him. And of course, as we can see here today, it's through signs, it's through the numbers that He is reassuring this. And today, my speech is called Yisrael Tagged by Yahweh. Yisrael Tagged by Yahweh. Pastor went through a lot of trouble trying to get his car renewed on the registration. He went through a lot of trouble. And with all of this trouble, you kind of wonder why. Why? Well, today I'm going to tell you a testimony of how Pastor Ezra Hawken, his license plate, which is his tag, that he had when he was arrested, was renewed for a new one, which the registration office said, "That doesn't belong to you, send it back." So he had to go back and get another one. And this one he kept. So you're thinking license plates, yeah, whatever. You know, we get it registered every year, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, who cares, right? But actually, we have to care because the story behind it is amazing. So this is how it began. Yisrael Hawken sent off mail with money to the registration office for his car. He needed to get it renewed. It was the same car he drove when he got arrested. Please remember that. It was the same car and the same driver's license, same tag he had when he was arrested. So he sent the money to the registration, and he waited. He waited and waited until his registration was completely expired. and at which time he called the registration office and said, I haven't received my tag yet. And they said, oh, but we sent it to you. We did. We really did. And he said, well, I didn't get it. And they said, well, I guess we could send it to you again, but you have to pay for it. So he said, well, I'm not going to send money through the mail again. So can I have it charged on my credit card? They said, okay, sure. And the very next day, he got it. He got this registration. But before he can even put on his car, another letter came in and said, please discard the license tag we just sent you. It is not yours. Please return it back. But he's like, so by the time he went through all this craziness and he can't drive his car because it's expired, he's like, okay, I need to get someone else to deal with this. I have too much things I got to deal with. So he called his trusty, dependable Deacon Stefania Ratowski Hawkins. And he said, can you take care of this problem for me and get it settled out, get it straightened out, so I can have my registration renewed? Of course, the deacon said, yes, I could do that. I could get that for you. So he took all the information, got everything he needed to go down to the registration office personally and get it renewed. So when the deacon got there, he asked, he showed the information to the registration office. The registration office said, the license plate that Yezra Hawkins has on his car, it's incorrect. And so the deacon said, no, well, maybe I copied it incorrectly. So the deacon got on the phone right away, called pastor and said, is that the tag number? So pastor walked through it and said, yes, that is the tag number. And pastor read it to him, and he checked it, and he said, okay. Put the phone down, gave it to the registration office again. Told the person, and the person said, I'm sorry, but that license plate is unknown. It was on his car. Pastor, so you can say, okay, let me call again. So you can call pastor again. Pastor, right, pastor's very busy. Pastor, okay. Pastor reads it again. Deacon said, okay. So the deacon tells the registration office again. They said, I'm sorry, it does not exist. It's unknown. This license plate is unknown. It was on pastor's car the day he was arrested. And still was on his car. Because he needed to get it renewed. So the deacon said, well, what can we do then? What do you want us to do? So we could just get this renewed and get it over with and, get it done. So they said, well, he'll have to pay for it again. I don't know about you, but I would have gave up already. I got so much money on me. So he paid it again with the credit card. And then he got his new registration. So, let's talk about this. Can I have my assistant? Because this, can we also tack this right here? That's my car. That's pastor's car. Couldn't bring it in. I know we have wonderful garage doors, but I couldn't bring the car in, so I had to minimize it on the poster board. But we're going to talk about, I'm going to break this down for you. And yes, I'm going to use the sources of the Strong's and also Gematria, okay? And I have not studied Gematrias for years, but I got a little gist of it. And if you want to know, you go to gematria.org and they do it all for you. Because they have a wonderful, wonderful database that can calculate it. But if we look here, we have on pastor's original license plate, when he was arrested, 57HBC2. Okay? Now, before I go into the gematria part, I want to talk about the numbers. Because numbers are easier to work with. Because they're all in the Strong's books, right? So, 57 Now remember, this was the license plate he had when he was arrested. 57 means lamenting, mourning. That's in the Hebrews. And in the Greeks, you couldn't believe this. It says unknown. Unknown. And number two here on the license plate, in the Hebrews, it says Father. We know who our Father is, right? Yahweh. He's the one that inspired everything here. He was with Pastor. And in the Greek, it's from 175 to and also 2590, and it means barren, without fruit, fruitless. So think about it. Pastor was arrested. Remember what occurred that day too? They wanted him to disappear and be unknown. Imagine that. Now let's go to our gematria. And I use gematria because there's letters. And if you know anything about gematria, every letter has a number value. But what makes it so complicating is there's so many different types of systems to use, whether that be from the Greek, the Hebrew, the English, the simple, to the Latin. I mean, it just goes crazy. But I'm sticking to just the Hebrew, the English, and the simple, which is provided on that website, gematria.org. So I took the letters HBC, and in Hebrew, the value is 13. When you add up all the letters and the value, 13, 78 in the English, and 13 again in the simple. And what occurred here is I took those numbers and I went ahead and went back to the Strong's and I looked it up to see if it had any meaning. What does HBC mean in the Strong's? Number 13, which is one of the numbers, in Hebrew says perishing, destruction. In the Greek, it means dumbfounded, stupefied, astonishment, and amazed. Were we not that on that day when he was arrested? That was our feeling. Number 78. In the Hebrew says, splendid. Yeah, we think it sounds great, but it actually comes from number 76, which means to belch forth, an inflammatory as eruption, swelling, sore on the skin. Think of those feelings. In the Greek, it also means in the sense of trapping, finery, headstall, to advance, pass on, to remove, pass by, take away. This is the license plate that was on Pastor's car when he was arrested. Now, also provided on the gematria.org, they will also give you words that have the same number value in their database. He and age. I'm not going to go into it much, but do you remember that cloud with age? Kind of odd, huh? And the word he. We know who the he was that was represented in here. Pastor, right? So the meaning on this tag was that Yisrael Hawkins, on the night he was arrested with this license plate, goes right along with what occurred that night. The DA and those against Yahweh's house plan to catch Yisrael Hawkins on the highway, kill him, and he would no longer exist. He would be unknown. Now, can you see how Yahweh showed this in the license plate? But back to our story, okay? Don't get distracted here. Back to our story, because the deacon now, he has the tag. He finally got the tag, and he has to put it on the car. That's the final step. He paid for it, and guess when he put it on the car? Not too long ago. It was Saturday night on 1-9-2016. Deacon Stefania Rotowski Hawkins put the new tag on Yisrael Hawkins' car, the tag which Yahweh insisted. And on this day, 1-9-2016, the number 9, listen closely to what it means in the Strong's. The Hebrew, it says concrete, something lost. Remember what occurred to the old license plate? It was lost. It was unknown. It was also, in like number 9 says, miswritten, perishing, destruction. But listen to what the Greek says in number 9. It says, Abilene, able, compared to a grassy region, gather, a town square, a public resort, a street, a place where you assemble. And it also comes from, number 9 comes from this, and this is very, very important, 1-4-5-3. Number 9 comes from that number also, and it means to waken, to rouse from the sleep, from sitting or lying, from disease, from death. To waken from the death that was called for pastor to have. Or to wake, to lift, to rise, and to take up. When this new license plate, when this new tag was put on pastor's car that very day, what was occurring? That's what we were doing. We were getting rid of that death that the world wanted on pastor. That's what was occurring. And to keep it away from this non-existence, that is what number 9 means. Now, can I have my poster board number 2? Because now you're thinking, okay, that's great. So what's the new tag? You want to know what the new tag is? Because there's meaning behind that one, too. But before we go into the new tag, you know, remember the one that he had to throw away? Remember there was a tag that he had to throw away because they said it did not belong to him? You will be even more amazed about this one. This one we won't put on because remember, it never got on pastor's car. Okay? This one is called BJ58388. BJ58388. Okay? So again, we go to the letter BJ, since that was first. BJ. BJ in the gematria is number 602, 72, and 12. When I look up each one of those numbers, 602 means cry, groan, to reveal in Greek. Number 12, which is part of the gematria from BJ, means perishing, destruction. In the Greek, it says bottomless, deep, depthless. And number 72 in the Strong's, in the Hebrew, it says stone of the help, and number 72 in the Greek is mode of life, manner of life. So you see all these meanings that came from the BJ in that license plate that they say discard. Aren't you glad he discarded it? Yeah, he did. Because Yahweh said, this is not for you. This is not for you anymore. Can I have number 3, poster board number 3? Now we're going to go into the number 58, which is after the BJ on the license plate. And number 58 in the gematria, and if you want to, you can look in the Strong's, but I didn't look in the Strong's on this one. But number 58, when you look it up in the gematria, remember this is part of the license plate, it comes up with all these other words that match. Number 58. Look at the words. Again. He needs to get another renewal again, right? Another new one. Hallel, blame, and I put the word Father because we know that Yahweh is inspiring all of this. Look at those numbers. Not really nice. We don't want that in there. Can I also get my number 4 now? So we went through BJ, 58, and the last three digits, 388. The last three digits, 388. This one will floor you. Okay. I looked up 388 in the Gematria to find out what other words have the same value in this license plate that pastor must throw away. Hidden message, hurt, the forehead seal, remember the 666, the mark of the beast, goat of Mendes, remember that, the worship that came from Egypt with the goat, half human, half goat. Take a step back, UNESCO. We heard a lot about that. The ones who are having plans on how to destroy the earth. Bride of Satan, son of chaos, and look at this one. Cardinal Bergoglio. Who's Cardinal Bergoglio? Pope Francis. Do you see who this belongs to? This driver's tag, it belongs to Cardinal Bergoglio and human bondage. He's not going back in prison, people. He's not. So that's why Yahweh said, get rid of it. Take it back. Thank you. Take it back. Yahweh did not want Yisrael Hawkins to have this tag. It needed to be returned because it did not belong to him. It belonged to Cardinal Bergoglio, the son of chaos, that Satan bride, and Yahweh is to not ever, Yisrael Hawkins is never to ever be put back into this way of destruction. And now, finally, we're going to go into pastor's new tag. And tell you the truth, this is really where I came in the story, because I was asked to look up the definition and the meaning behind this new tag. So I kind of worked from the end back to the beginning. But here is pastor's new tag. And of course, I don't have it because it's on his car. It's finally on his car, people. Okay, so I wrote it out. Ooh, this is not the one. And it says, GMK 1074. GMK 1074. GMK. GMK stands for number 74 in the Hebrew, 186 in the English, and in the simple gematria, 31. So I decided to say, well, GMK probably stands for a word or a name. And as you can see here, whose name is that? Jacob. And I asked, and I said, well, did pastor call Jacob or Yaakov when he was still alive? He called him Jacob. So Jacob has the exact same value in the gematria with the English and the simple. So that is very ensuring right there. GMK, Jacob's name is on the tag. Well, if Jacob's name is on the tag, pastor's name got to be on the tag, right? And this is what amazed me. Pastor's name. Can we have our next? Pastor's name, the value of it in the Hebrew is exactly 1,000. Exactly 1,000. Do you all remember Revelations 20, verse 4 about the millennium reign, why would pastor's name be 1,000, right? At the value of 1,000. But his name values at 1,000 in the Hebrew, 654 in the English, and 109 in the simple. So now, I want to find words that relate to his name. Number 17, spelt out. Remember on his stone? Remember the description of it? How he desires, he longed for Yahweh. And the word, witness. The word witness. So all of these things are associated with the name Yisro Hawkins in the Gematria. So, you're probably thinking, well, why did you get the 1,000? Do you remember the license plate? Take away the 74, you got your 1,000. Okay? Because now, I'm going to add into this the name Yahweh. And Yahweh has to do with this license plate too. The name Yahweh in the Hebrew equals out to 1322, and in the English, 420, and in the simple, 70. Let's go back to the license plate. We got Yaakov, 1,000 is Yisro Hawkins, and 70, take away the 4, 70 is Yahweh. So that leaves us with what number? 4. Well, what's the number 4 in Gematria? Got the next one? Do y'all remember all the license plates having a number on it or a word associated with it? Father? Remember that? Well, this license has to have the name or the word Father in it too. Abba. If you look in the Gematria, Abba equals to 4 in the Hebrew, 24 in English, and 4 again in the simple. That gives us our 4. On this license plate that Pastor now has is Yaakov, Jacob, Yisro Hawkins, and Yahweh, who's our Abba. Let me give you a quick breakdown of it. You see that? You see how I came to that? Jacob, 1,000, who is Yisro the witness, 70 Yahweh, 4 the Abba, Father Yahweh, right? Which gives us that 1,074, which is on our new register tag. So remember that this old tag was about the perishing, the destruction, to be without fruit, to be unknown and non-existence for Yisro Hawkins, which he had when he was arrested. Then he got this new one, which they say voided because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to who? Pope Francis. This has nothing to do with you, Yisro Hawkins. Void it. Return it quickly. And go back and get your new one, which is showing you that this last generation was going to be fruitful, it's going to be the first fruit, and that Yahweh is with his witness, and his work shall begin in this generation, in this last generation. So to the people of the house of Yahweh, Yahweh has shown us over and over in the last few years in many ways that he is with Yisro Hawkins, as he was with Moshe, even to this little tiny tag, the little car that he was driving, right? The tag, even to the tag That means that Yisro Hawkins is in unity with Yahweh. All we need to do is to be in unity with Yisro Hawkins, the one sent.